This is your World War III update, and this one is going to be intense. We have Canada preparing to evacuate 45,000 of its citizens. Kuwait is issuing a statement saying that you need to get the hell out of Lebanon. Some people are saying that war is imminent. Talks are underway in the next 24 to 48 hours that may see a major regional war in the Middle East, which will quickly become an international one within the next 3 weeks at maximum. We have Putin issuing yet again another unusual nuclear warning. We have a Ukrainian military expert believing that Russia, if they do use tactical nuclear weapons, that it will be, in fact, in the western part of Ukraine. We're going to tell you why in just a moment. The U.S. has reiterated its warnings not to travel to Russia. U.S. Stratcom has done an unusual amount of military exercises and nuclear deployment system tests in the last month. We have Scandinavia preparing a corridor to bring troops to Russia's borders. Rishi Sunak is saying that if you don't want to partake in conscription, then maybe we'll take away your driver's license. Viktor Orban, president of Hungary, is saying that when the war with NATO and Russia starts, that they will have no part of it. Basically speaking, as if it's a foregone conclusion, Russia has given the North Koreans, according to former CIA analyst Ray McGovern, a solid fuel mobile platform intercontinental ballistic missile that, of course, can not be defended against and can basically black out the U.S. power grid or a large part of it should those two countries go to war. For the third time, there's been another cross-border skirmish between the North Koreans and the South Koreans. The only difference is right now, Russia and North Korea have formed a strategic alliance military pact, and Russia is currently doing naval drills in the region with 40 warships, all right? China is practicing sinking U.S. warships in military drills. They've also said that there's now going to be a death penalty for anybody promoting Taiwan separatism. Denmark is being told to stock up for 3 days. Belarus is conducting an emergency military readiness check in response to an increased Ukrainian troop presence near the Russian border. Ecuador suffered a nationwide blackout. Nationwide blackouts in the Balkan states. The stock market is in one hell of a bubble, and bird flu at 6 new dairy farms in Colorado. Now, if you're wondering why I got these figurines here today, I don't know why. We got the cardboard cutouts, and these figurines came with them. And, you know, interestingly, I think the size proportions are just a little bit off. You got Vladimir Zelensky, who we know is the shortest guy. I'm pretty sure Nancy Pelosi has stock in this company. This is Donald Trump. Look at that, man. Something is wrong here. Something is definitely not right about this. So as we go around the chessboard here, we're going to just ping off whoever we've talked about. The only thing we have to talk about Rishi Sunak today is that he decided that he's almost like he doesn't want to get elected or something. That's what some people suspect. He wants to get out of Dodge and enjoy his millions while the getting is good. But he is suspecting, or he is proposing, that they are going to enact this conscription. And the requirement is going to be that if you don't go through with the conscription, or if you try to dodge it in some way, shape, or form, you're not going to have a driver's license, okay? There's going to be certain privileges, not rights, of course, because we don't have rights under the Queen and the monarchy here in all the vassal states like Canada, that you're not going to have a driver's license. In fact, they might just start taking things away, very similar to what they're currently doing and what they've been doing in Ukraine. Now, where should we begin today? I don't have Netanyahu here. We do have Joe Biden, who happens to be the only guy of all of these cardboard mini cutouts that requires two props, two stands. I don't know why that is. I mean, it kind of makes sense when you think about it. It kind of matches reality that he needs more support than most to get through this. But we're going to reference him when we're talking about World War III theater that is the Middle East. Canada is preparing to evacuate, and no, I don't have Justin Trudeau. There's a lot of people missing here. Canada is preparing to evacuate 45,000 citizens from Lebanon. Now, if you recall, it actually was last October that Canada issued a do not travel advisory to Lebanon. We were one of the first countries to do that because we thought war would break out much sooner than it did. Right now, as it stands, I believe the United States has Lebanon sitting at a level 3, a level 4 being the highest do not travel advisory by the State Department. Of those countries, essentially Yemen, Russia, North Korea, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and a few others fall on that list. Lebanon is yet to be on that list. Now, if you ask me, if you know that war is about to pop off, those 45,000 people, you should have your own exit plan. We should not have to be dealing with this at this point in time when you have so much access to information. Nonetheless, Canada is preparing to evacuate 45,000 of its citizens should a full-scale war break out between Israel and Hezbollah. This is according to Melanie Joly, okay? Now, according to some sources, in the past 24 to 48 hours, discussions between senior Israeli and U.S. officials have caused serious concern among several members of the Biden administration, okay? They're worried that an Israeli offensive against Hezbollah in the southern Lebanon is likely to begin with a major assault over Lebanon and southwestern Syria being imminent and could start at any moment within the next 3 weeks. Of course, this is likely going to quickly spill over into the surrounding regions, which is why Saudi Arabia's UK ambassador said that a regional conflict between Israel and Hezbollah will quickly become an international one. Because, of course, this is going to put a stranglehold on oil supplies coming out of the region, especially if it extends into the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf and Iran gets involved, which they very likely will on some level. Now, NATO has come out today and said that they will not defend the island of Cyprus, that unsinkable aircraft carrier that NATO and the, not NATO, I guess it would be Israel and the United States, of course, member of NATO, is using to fly sorties from and fly surveillance and reconnaissance missions from. They deny this, that this is happening, but it's quite obvious that this most definitely is happening. In fact, Israel simulated a Hezbollah war training scenario from Cyprus back in 2022. So it's pretty hard to deny that they're going to be party to this conflict. And of course, Hezbollah has issued a warning to Cyprus that they will not be immune from their missile and rocket strikes. Hezbollah is claiming that they can potentially cause very large unconventional explosions, very similar to the one that was set off in Beirut back in, 2022, when half the city exploded due to that ammonium nitrate plant. They claim that in their recent flyover with a drone that they collected data on where these facilities are located and that they will be targeted. And if that is the case, then I think all bets are off in terms of where they might target, including the Dimona nuclear power plant, which of course would give Israel perhaps the license that they needed. And if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be them, to use tactical nuclear weapons, likely in some subterranean form, because that of course is where the majority of Hezbollah's forces are going to be based out of. And it's impossible to target those places with bunker busters when they're so deep. It's impossible. So they're going to have to use some sort of unconventional ordnance. The Taliban have informed Iran that they are ready to fight against Israel. So there will be an attempt to create some sort of bridge into Lebanon through Syria and the northern part of Iraq. Of course, the Houthis have volunteered a long time ago. They've been rearing to go for some time. So that's what's going on in the Middle East. That, it appears, is the place where we're likely to see a major flare-up of hostilities very, very soon. Why the stock market is not quite getting that yet is news to me, to be brutally honest. It could already be that the premium is priced in and they're predicting such an economic downturn. They're predicting that oil is going to crater to $50 a barrel if we do go into a deep recession and possibly even depression, that the premium for the Middle East conflict is already priced in at $80 a barrel. But I find that hard to believe. I think the same thing that is fueling the NVIDIA FOMO craze, and it's likely algorithmic for the most part. But there is also a retail FOMO, which I think is starting to peter out now because NVIDIA has flatlined for the last couple days and there's a lot of insider trading. People are selling. So I suspect that it could just be that the market is oblivious to the reality of these threats and how it's going to affect the global supply chain when shit really kicks off, because it's kicking off everywhere. Vladimir Putin issued another warning that they're going to be upgrading their nuclear triad. Recall that back in early 2023, they opted out of the New START treaty. So there's effectively no more nuclear treaties between Russia and the United States, and there is no and never has been any nuclear treaty that has involved the Chinese. Now, the Americans are claiming, and this is just purely a claim, just lip service for public consumption, that they want to go back to the negotiating table with the Russians over nuclear matters, but that these won't involve in any way the operations currently underway in Ukraine. And Russia has refused because they claim, and rightly so, that unless the Ukrainian question is brought into play, then these talks are virtually meaningless. This we are seeing on a daily basis, Vladimir Putin now, and he's starting to appear a bit more nervous, if you've noticed the body language, okay? And apparently they've moved one of their last S-300 systems from the Kuril Islands near Japan all the way to the front line in Ukraine. Now, I don't know what that is about. Some people are suspecting that they're starting to get down to the wire, but of course they've suspected that for a long time. Russia's running out of weapons, blah, 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 blah. And of course, these things never come to pass. So why is it, though, that Vladimir Putin is starting to talk more about nuclear weapons every 24 hours? It seems he mentions it. Today, he used his platform as an opportunity to make a statement about national security when he was talking with some young people, some up-and-coming young career thing. I can't remember what he was at. Standing before the lecture, Putin said, "We plan to further develop the nuclear triad as a guarantee of strategic deterrence and maintaining the balance of power in the world." So he's going to further develop the nuclear triad. Does that mean nuclear proliferation, or does it just mean the enhancement of the nuclear deployment systems? Well, that has already been underway for many years anyways. I think he's talking about something above and beyond that. A testament to things coming down to the wire is Ukrainian drone strikes on oil refineries. And this is another reason why oil should be ticking upwards, but it's kind of seems to be in a state of stasis between $75 and $85 a barrel. But they've been decimating these Russian oil refineries. Dozens of oil refineries hit this year alone, and some of these are pretty serious fires. Okay, we still have Russian warships on the U.S. coast. The U.S. Navy's air and sea assets are tracking Russian submarines off the East Coast. Well, another part of the flotilla is heading south, possibly for a port call in Venezuela. All right. So according to a Ukrainian military expert, a former Ukrainian chief of the general staff, Ihor Romanenko, he claims that the Russians, if they do use tactical nuclear weapons, they're not going to use them on the front line because, of course, that you would have radioactive blowback, at least temporarily. He believes that they're going to use them on the supply chain and supply lines in the western part of Ukraine. And it's actually a very feasible scenario when you think about it, because if you're trying to interdict those supply lines and cut Ukraine off from NATO support, the best way to do that would be to create some sort of radioactive wasteland that they could not pass through. Now, how long it is going to remain a radioactive wasteland depends on the type of nuclear detonation, the type of nuclear weapon used. If there's a dirty bomb component to it, that could definitely have that effect. Of course, this would draw the ire of the international community, no doubt, something that Russia is trying to preserve its soft power around the world. But as people continue to get pushed and prodded, and of course I'm talking about nation states that loosely align themselves with the Russians, people may be more sympathetic to such a thing if it means bringing an end or some sort of armistice to the hostilities, okay? So the Russians believe that the main logistical routes that supply us with weapons and military equipment pass through the West. Therefore, the occupiers may want to make this place unsuitable for people to live and stay, and accordingly cut off all possible logistical supply routes. After all, the area with radiation pollution will have to be bypassed. I think the Russians see the military meaning in this. He does not see any other scenario that this is actually practical to use tactical nuclear weapons in. Okay, so let's just get rid of that guy there. The U.S. reiterates its warning about travel to Russia. U.S. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller has said that no American citizen for any reason should travel to Russia. Maybe that's why they intercepted Scott Ritter. No American citizen should travel to Russia. I know this sometimes comes down to a very painful choice for Americans who have family members in Russia, sometimes family members who have health problems that they want to see. But you have a tremendous risk traveling there in that you run the risk of being detained, imprisoned, or convicted. We continue to make clear to every American, do not travel to Russia. So, not much has changed in terms of the U.S. policy there, but it just bears repeating that these do not travel advisory warnings are becoming more frequent and more intense. U.S. Strategic Command, in June of 2024, and we're only two-thirds way through the month, have already conducted a record three ICBM tests, two Minuteman and one Minotaur missile tests. Typically, these are done twice a year. They've done three in 1 month. Do you think somebody's worried? A SSBN plus a B-1 bomber visit to Guam, so a nuclear submarine, and a B-1B bomber visit to Guam. Many people think that the positioning of those assets there is, in fact, in response to the developments in North Korea. An E-6B flight over the Bering Sea, a 24-hour-long B-52H flight over Europe, and then in the coming days, they have another E-6B training mission over the North Sea. And I'm sure there's a lot of other undisclosed things that we don't even know about. Now, Ukraine is worried about the Fab 3000 aerial bombs that they claim can only be carried by the Su-34. Now, I usually don't get into the technical, tactical minutiae of stuff, but this is where we could see the deployment of F-16s, because they are saying, or attack-ems deep behind enemy lines, because of course now, if you didn't know, Matthew Miller came out the other day and he said, yeah, the Ukrainians, you can target anywhere in Russia. Effectively anywhere where Russia is launching attacks from, which is anywhere, you can attack. So now they've been given the green light to attack anywhere in Russia with American weapons as far as the ranges will permit. And then, of course, what they're going to do is slowly up the ranges of these weapons as well. But the Fab 3000 bombs, they believe, are problematic. This first presented, and this is a massive bomb. What is it, like 3,000 pounds or 3 tons or something like that? But they're saying that these can be carried by Su-34s, and the Su-34s, at least according to this analysis, can see the F-16s long before the Patriots and the see the F-16s and the Patriot missile systems long before they can see them. So the only way to target these Su-34s is going to be by getting them when they're at the actual air bases, and for that, that means they need to start shooting American missiles and possibly leveraging F-16 fighter jets to fire inside of Russia, or they may just continue the attritional drone strikes. Scandinavia is preparing to bring troops to Russia's border. Swinland. That was an interesting contraction. Sweden, Finland, and Norway approved the creation of a corridor for the transfer of NATO troops to the borders with the Russian Federation. So they're getting all these corridors set up so that American troops and armored vehicles can be shuttled to the front line in such case that this thing stays conventional. I've long since suspected that they know it's going to go nuclear, and they're perhaps trying to do a preemptive strike. They're first trying to chip away at the Russians. Of course, it appears to not be working in terms of demoralizing the Russians at all. In fact, it appears that if we're looking at, if what we're getting is true, it appears that Russian nationalistic sentiment is riding quite high right now, and that they're showing no signs of being any risk of civil unrest or political upheaval in that country. So it's failing. All right. So anyways, might as well get rid of that guy now. We talked enough about nuclear weapons. And of course, Viktor Orban, who do we got left here? This guy and this. Oh, we might as well get rid of this guy anyways, because we don't have much to say about him. Viktor, I guess Trump's the last man standing. That was not intentional, I assure you. Viktor Orban has said, and I quote, he is the president of Hungary. The European train is headed for war. If our government supports the people in the European parliamentary elections, I can pull the emergency brake, the train will stop, and Hungarians will get off. He added that only Donald Trump could stop the war march if he wins the U.S. presidential election in November, and I think that that is 110% bullshit. Trump ain't gonna save you. He ain't gonna save me. He certainly ain't gonna save you, so forget about it. And quite frankly, if that is the case, then that gives NATO and Ukraine all the more incentive to ratchet things up before that time, even though they've done these Trump-proof arms agreements with Ukraine, these bilateral agreements that are supposedly Trump-proof, and now they got the new guy, what's-his-face, coming to be the Secretary General of NATO, who they're calling the Trump Whisperer. So I guess we'll see. We will see. Russia has, according to Ray McGovern, given North Korea a solid fuel ICBM that's mobile capable and it's undetectable and it's capable of targeting anywhere in the United States. Okay, that's on top of all of the nuclear weapons that North Korea already has. There was an incident recently in a string of incidents. North Korean soldiers briefly crossed the military demarcation line. North Korean soldiers returned after South Korean soldiers fired warning shots. This is the third incident that has occurred in the month of June. So these types of things typically do not happen. In fact, they're still in a de jure state of war. Most people don't realize that South Korea and North Korea are still in a state of war. We just haven't seen any major incidents as of recent, but according to a great article by War News 24/7, got to give them props. They seem to go off and online every once in a while. I used to consult their website for information, and I periodically check it now and again, but they always seem to have a good knack for putting the pieces of the puzzle together. 40 Russian warships in combat positions near South Korea and Japan. South Korea has summoned Russian ambassador for explanation. The border violations come as North Korea has deployed large numbers of troops in frontline areas and is conducting a range of activities, including mine laying and building anti-tank barriers, which we reported on a couple days ago. So you have these exercises involving 40 Russian ships right after Vladimir Putin visits Kim Jong-un in that incredibly meme-ridden and awkward visit with the incessant waving goodbye, that sort of thing. Well, they have now a strategic arms agreement that essentially states that it's an Article 5, essentially, where if one of them gets attacked, then the other one comes to their aid. Now, of course, South Korea is threatening to send artillery shells and other munitions to Ukraine, and Putin is saying, I wouldn't do that if I were you. It's, of course, in Russia's best interest to try to bog the Americans down wherever they can. And a Middle Eastern conflict, a war with Taiwan, and a Chinese war with Taiwan, and, of course, a war on the Korean Peninsula would do that very thing. So Russia, in a way, has a vested interest in other nations going to war at this point in time so that NATO has less capability to assist the Ukrainians. I'm all out of guys to flick. I should have had Xi Jinping here. Because China is practicing sinking U.S. warships in these computer simulation drills. China has sunk a U.S. Navy warship in a simulation drill. And this is the country, remember, where they created a fake armada, flotilla, if you will, of U.S. warships in the middle of the desert, and have been training to attack it for the last couple years. And they also recently passed a death penalty for Taiwan separatists in that if you exhibit any behavior that is aimed at Taiwan independence, they will be viewed as a criminal act and You will be punished up to death, okay, for any perpetrators of this perceived crime. Now, there was another article that came out today. I believe it was in, was it in Newsweek? I can't remember where it was, but it was something to do with China buying up farmland close to American military bases. Now, I would have to look into this with a more critical lens because I'm not sure if this is necessarily motivated for the same nefarious reasons that they're insinuating in this article. But, you know, this could just be the beginning, too, of xenophobia permeating the American continent. Some of that is justified, of course, and you guys know that I'm anti-TikTok for a variety of different reasons that I'm not going to get into. But when you're at war with an authoritarian regime or a pseudo-authoritarian regime, because it's not exact, I mean, really, arguably, Ukraine is far more authoritarian, at least at this point in time, and they're going to justify that by saying, well, we're at war, so we have to be in a perpetual state of martial law where none of our citizens have rights and we can scoop up anyone off the street at any moment. We can shoot at our own guys if they attempt to flee the country. In fact, we'll shoot at our own guys if they're surrendering to Russians. There's video footage of that happening, but still, we'll call the Chinese and the Russians the authoritarians. And, you know, people say I'm a Putin shill because I say that in an unbiased, apolitical way, but it's just the fact. And if you look at all the evidence, you'll come to that conclusion. And if you still don't, then you're probably a paid shill or a bot. Anyways, Denmark is being told to stock up for 3 days. Just another country that is rolling out the war plans. And they're doing it in a way that they don't want to shock the population, okay? So Denmark's general population has been told to stock up on enough supplies to last them good old 3 days, right? Some other countries like Latvia, we did a dedicated video about them recently. I believe, was it the UK? No, it was Germany, who also released a very similar, extensive how to prepare for nuclear Armageddon guide under the guise of prepare for 7 days. But everything that was written in there was very extensive and clearly for a protracted military engagement with the Russians. This one, of course, is a little lighter. They're just trying to soften people up to the idea. They say that the risk here is not necessarily an immediate conventional military threat. Obviously, Denmark is far from the front lines, but the risk of a hybrid attack, which could, for example, disrupt electricity supplies. So it could be some sort of cybersecurity incident. Okay, now speaking of which, I just want to let you guys know that we got a deal, an amazing deal on these Zender power banks. Zender is going all in on the off-grid power space into the bigger stuff, like the bigger systems, the 5 kilowatt hour and above systems. But they originally got their start in these small-scale power banks. I'm not sure if you can see that, but they are like the best power banks on the market. My first Zender, in fact, I did a, you probably go back through the archives, it's probably a very cringy video. One of the first videos I ever did on a power bank was of a Zendure because they're just so damn tough. They're like the apple of power banks. You can get power banks at any gas station, but it won't be a Zendure. Now, Zendure is getting out of this stuff and they're just liquidating everything. So we scooped up what we could and we're basically going to pass those savings on to you guys. So you're going to get this for like 50% off. Probably even more than that, what they were expected to be sold at. I believe these were retailing for $350, and I think we're selling this particular model for like 150 Canadian or something stupid like that. These, I think, we're selling for, I can't remember, but I know that they're historically range between 150 and $200. We're selling those for about half price, and the same thing with the 24,000 milliamp hour thin power bank. So you have the thicker ones. They all have 100 watt power USB-C. They're all, you know, up to standard in terms of, you know, state of the art stuff. So go and pick one up. I'll post the link in the description. And you can also get an additional 10% off using coupon code SURVIVALPREPPER. And the only way we're able to do that is because they gave us a discount and we basically cleaned them out. And it really segues perfectly into this next story about Ecuador's national blackouts, okay? So Ecuador was hit by a nationwide blackout on Wednesday, leaving 18 million people in the dark for several hours. Now, some people suspect foul play with respect to what's going on with China. Apparently, there's been some diplomatic fallout there, we'll say. But this affected a lot of people, obviously 18 million people. Services were interrupted due to a general failure of the national interconnected electricity system. Some people are saying that this is a due with hot temperatures. I know that that was the cause of the power outage recently in the Balkans, which led to all kinds of traffic gridlock, water shortages, and of course, most importantly, a loss of air conditioning, which ironically was what caused the problem in the first place. And air conditioning actually has the effect of increasing the urban heat island effect. So the more air conditioning we use, the hotter it gets and the more air conditioning we have to use. But these types of things are going to become more and more commonplace as time goes on. Right now, they're seeing scorching temperatures all around the planet. Yes, we know it is summer, but these temperatures are off the charts. They're record temps, and there's in places where typically you need rain to grow crops. Now, we've been very fortunate here. We finally appear to be coming out of this long drought that we've been in that has caused all kinds of forest fires over the last couple years, in one part of the country, I should say, not all. In spite of the incessant rain that we've been receiving lately, it seems as though a day goes by without rain and it's immediately dry again. So, you know, I don't know if all, certainly the aquifers are far from full. The water table is still far below normal. We still have a long way to go in that respect, but it's good to have an emergency backup power system just in case, you know, for your cell phone, for flashlights, for, and that's only for short term. Ideally, you would have a whole home solar system, no doubt. Take a look at how Costco is doing. Look at that. Isn't that interesting? Wow, look at Costco. Aren't they doing great? That's their stock. Okay, look at Costco's stock. Meanwhile, all local mom and pop shop that got chopped during the pandemic have received no compensation for that. What a surprise that we see now the consolidation of wealth and power into the hands of fewer and fewer people. This is why it's important that you support small business. And if you don't bitch about it when there ain't no small business left. It appears as though household stock allocation is at an all-time high, higher than the dot-com bubble, in fact. And that's proportional. That's not based on controlling for inflation or anything like that. That is controlled for inflation, I should say. So that's very significant because that means retail has nowhere to go. And they're just looking for any place that they can get some kind of return to just really keep pace with inflation. And that is scary because that means it's a bubble. When your grandma, who doesn't know what the hell NVIDIA is taking money out of or spending their cash or taking money away from precious metals and things of that nature and putting it into NVIDIA, that's a cause for concern to say the least. And of course, there's insider trading. In fact, the CEO of NVIDIA has been dumping a lot of their shares as of late. We have bird flu creeping up once again in dairy farms in Colorado. I would advise people, if you have the disposable income and you're looking for a bulletproof plan, a bulletproof thing that's not going to lose its value, and this is not investment advice because I'm not telling you to invest in anything particular, but I'd be buying freeze-dried food. And people say, you know, I'm a shill for freeze-dried food, and I am. Freeze-dried food, it is an amazing investment. If you know that they're going to start heavily regulating the poultry markets and the beef markets, then you better get it while you still can at a reasonable price. And I say reasonable, it is not reasonable, the prices as they are right now. So you know when they start to do the culls and when this bird flu thing spreads, and if people don't comply, of course, that's going to put a lot of small-scale farming operations out of business. And it's going to, the same thing that happened with Costco being the last man standing is going to happen with a lot of these big farms. Big Agra is just going to keep getting bigger and then they're going to have all the power to do whatever it is they want. Now, one thing I forgot to mention about Belarus Belarus is currently doing an emergency readiness check. A sudden, unexpected check of the readiness of their troops began today. And this is based on the Belarusian Ministry of Defense Telegram channel. The readiness of special formations, civil defense formations, and their staffing level has been checked. Essentially, what they're doing is they're just, you know, getting ready, everything ready. They've been mining the border. They've been checking their civil defense infrastructure. The Russians have been bringing back military planes and helicopters, and they're claiming that this is in response to the increased militarization of the northern border by the Ukrainians. But it's hard to say what came first, the chicken or the egg. All I know is that shit is fitting to pop, and it's very likely, extremely likely, that all of these theaters of conflict at the exact same time are going to blow. Or at least within a week of each other. I mean, when you see Lebanon go to war with Israel, the likelihood of a war developing, or the war developing further in Russia and Iran when attention is being taken away from that, is very high. And the same goes for North Korea. Everything, it's all interconnected, okay? And this is why you need to really not look at these things in isolation. And one of my frustrations with the financial channels and the financial community is their lack of appreciation for geopolitics. And especially, you know, people who are looking at macroeconomic trends. I mean, you really have to look at what is going on in the world geopolitically right now if you want to have any understanding of what is coming down the pike in terms of what the economic outlook is going to be. So I need a break in that I need to go and work and do manual labor and get out of this heady stuff for a while. So that's what I'm going to do. If you want to support the channel, check out CanadianPreparedness.com. I would also encourage you, if you live in Canada, okay, there's two real comms options. I mean, good comms options. There's ham radio, and of course there's FRS and GMRS, but you got to be careful with those because those are open channels that anyone has access to. There's also satellite phones, okay? Satellite phones are basically the top of the hop when it comes to off-grid comms. However, it comes with a premium, and if the satellites go out because of World War III, then you might as well just forget about it. Another thing you might want to consider, we just brought these in. These are essentially cameras that work and don't require a Wi-Fi connection. So unlike the Ring systems, they don't require a relay from an internet-based system. So you can position them if you have a large property or if you want to have real-time video footage from essentially anywhere in the world where there is a cell tower range. So you do need a cell tower with this. Now, Starlink, of course, has opened up some possibilities in terms of using Ring cameras in different places. This is actually a very well-priced thing, and you would think it wouldn't be because, and I say that, I mean, for what you're getting here, you're getting a solar panel, you're getting the actual camera. I believe, do they come with a SIM card? Yeah, they come with a SIM card, and there is a subscription-based activation. It's not that much, but to have, you know, these cameras on different parts of your property and the ability to monitor it in real time and there not be an internet connection around like is required for a Ring is kind of a game changer. So it runs on 4G LTE, super easy to set up. Sometimes a little too sensitive, so you got to be careful where you put them. If you put them and there's trees blowing, it'll pick that up. But it's like a game camera on steroids because you can access it from anywhere. And of course, it is solar power. So it's similar. There are game cameras that do similar things, but it's dedicated for just strictly security purposes. So you guys can go check that out. You can pick them up at CanadianPreparedness.com. Now, if you're a person of modest means, the tried and true method of security, the number one cheapest way to secure a space is with a good old-fashioned sign. You don't want to overdo it. You only get one chance to communicate with would-be aggressors. And you can see here, we've done whole videos on this. And this is one of my favorites. Limited ammo. There will be no warning shot. Okay, actually, my personal favorite is looters will be sniped. And the reason why I say sniped is because sniped creates a little bit more anxiety than shot, because shot makes you think you're going to get a line of sight first, but snipe, you don't know where or when that is coming from. Anyways, of course, barring the legalities of your region, in Canada, it's probably illegal to do this. I'm not saying I do this. I'm not saying you should do this. But, you know, you might want to play with stuff like that. It's all psychology. You can get this is kind of a comedic one, but it means you're serious, because you know that this wasn't accidental, because a guy had a sign made that read this, right? Warning, if you could read this, I can see you, right? And it's not saying anything explicit. It's just saying, I can see you. Oh, and there just happens to be a crosshairs there, right? Happens to have you in the crosshairs. Some other things you might want to explore if we do go nuclear: danger, radiation, right? Things of that nature. So there's always a cost-effective solution. I was over on the George Gammon channel today. Excellent rebel capitalist. Go and check him out. We were just talking about prepping. And he was asking, you know, what are some things that a person could do if they make under 50 grand a year, over six figures a year, and are in the millionaire up class? And when it really comes down to it, the edge that you get from being a multimillionaire prepper, there's all kinds of liability there, and there's all kinds of risk. Because the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Now, we had an extensive conversation about different things people can do, but I use the metaphor of, or the analogy, I should say, of a knife. You know, you can get a reasonable knife for $50, and it'll do most of the things that a knife should do, right? But because as gearheads, we want the best of the best, we keep pushing the boundaries, but there's a diminishing return. So you can spend $2,000 on a knife, and that knife might be maybe 20% better than that $50 knife, but that 20% is a lot. Maybe more than that. Maybe it's 50% better. You know, the steel is stronger. It lasts a lot longer. It's more well-designed. The handle is better. It's you know. So, but it's important to remember that you also don't want to compare yourself to people who've been doing this for years, like myself. I've been doing this, you know, just living this 24/7 for the last 15 years now. Is it 15? I think it's about 50. No, it's more than that. I think it's, 15. Yeah, about 15 years. So you don't want to be comparing yourself to somebody who's been doing this. Otherwise, you are going to, it's going to seem unachievable. You just want to start with the basics. And we have plenty of videos on those things, but we are going to be releasing a video next week which talks about what you can do if you're lower income, middle income, and high income. And I spent 95% of my life as a low income person. Okay, so I can relate. And I can tell you that your skills, your people skills, and your actual, you know, physical skills, your ability to do things and fix things and whatever sort of trade you might have, that is probably going to be the most important thing that you can bring to bear. But there are other practical solutions, because indeed having an off-grid retreat is important, but it's more achievable than people think. People want an off-grid estate, you know, and that's just not going to happen for the majority of people. But you can still find some really incredibly cheap and secure real estate out there. Go and check out the videos that we just released with Curtis Stone if you want more information about that. That said, I got to jump back in the tractor here. I got to get the hell out of Dodge. Well, the getting is good. And what am I doing this weekend? I'm building a greenhouse still, putting the final touches on that. Fencing, that's what we're doing. We're still working on the road and, you know, building out the orchard, continuing to just do everything that we've been doing thus far, planting trees. Eventually, we want to get things all nice and fenced off so that we can build a barn, have some animals. I don't think that's going to happen this year, which is why I'm hoping that things don't pop off before the election, but everybody seems to be incentivized to do some kind of, dare I say, false flag attack to get the wheels turning on things. But let's hope we have a bit more time, because we all need more time to prepare. Because if and when the worst case scenario happens, you could not have prepared enough. All right. So I got to get going, folks. Thanks for watching. Stay safe.